Welcome to the podcast Benzo Tired. I'm your host, Neftel Benesty, and I'm Dutch. Join me on my journey into the world of benzodiazepines, withdrawal, bind, and more. Disclaimer, always consult your physician for medical advice. This is episode 8, a conversation with Paul Hirsch, and today it's March 23rd, 2023. I've had the pleasure to speak to Paul Hirsch from the U.S. and to talk to him about his journey coming off of Clonopin, which is clonazepam. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hi, Paul.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us how you got prescribed a benzo.
Okay. Well, I was a very anxious kid, but nothing, you know, manageable. And I had just moved to Colorado and didn't really know anyone and kind of had some depression, anxiety going on. So, I should back up a little bit. My mom used to take Xanax periodically. And she would occasionally like mail them to me at college or when I lived in Denver. So anyway, I got my own prescription and it was Clonopin. And this was back in 92 or 3, I don't really remember. And I actually don't even remember the dose I was initially put on. But it was a miracle for me for a while, you know, with sleep and anxiety.
Were you having trouble sleeping prior to the Clonopin?
Yeah, I mean, I would have occasional insomnia and, occasionally panic attacks.
Okay, yeah. So the Clonopin was like a miracle drug to you, and you got it prescribed by a psychiatrist or a GP?
It was by a psychiatrist.
Okay, and so did he tell you to dose once a day, twice a day, as needed?
It was at night because, you know, it was primarily for sleep issues. So, I took just one dose at night and, I stayed there and, you know, I did, you know, have to increase a little bit every once in a while. But like I said, I don't really, you know, I ended up taking 1.5. So I don't really, you know, it's just my memory is foggy on, you know, when I had to take more of that.
That's okay. I think we all in benzo withdrawal have that where we don't remember the specifics because of the benzo brain. I have the same thing, especially the early days of my benzos. I was forgetting a lot of things, and it's up to this day, it's still even hard to get the specifics on how much, when, how, and all that stuff. So how long were you like actively on them before you started noticing something was wrong?
To be honest with you, I didn't really have any major issues until, like 2018 or 19. Like I said, I'd been on it since the early 90s. I am guessing it really just wasn't, you know, working for a while. And I was probably in some kind of tolerance withdrawal. So it was like spring of 2019, where things got really bad, where I was developing all these like phobias. I became very, I almost like sold my car and gave it up. And I love driving. I just became like phobic to drive and a lot of like sleep phobia. So bad that like I would look at my bed and I would get like a panic attack because, you know, my bed was no longer this safe place where I could sleep. It was where I would be lying up all night, like, you know, with my heart racing. So I did some Googling and I kind of realized that I was in tolerance withdrawal, and that's kind of what led me to wanting to taper off of the Clonopin.
And how did you do that?
Well, there's this girl that I became Facebook friends with. I actually have never, still have not met her in person. We met on a message board. for this TV show, a soap opera. I know we're talking about her, all my children. But anyway, she was very open about her struggles with medication, and she had been posting about her Klonopin taper. So I reached out to her just because, like I said, I was kind of debating whether to go off or not. And so she was a good resource. But she did a dry taper, which is what I ended up doing. But I actually found this tutorial on YouTube. This guy like did a dry taper with a jewelry scale, and that's kind of how I decided to do it, because the water titration thing just seemed complicated to me. So that is how I decided to do it.
And next to this Facebook group and this person that was maybe helping you, giving you some tips on how to taper Klonopin, did you like check out other resources or YouTube videos or anything?
I did, but I joined a couple different benzo Facebook groups, but I would always, my mind, my eyes would go right to the scariest story, and I would imagine that that would be me. So I didn't really, and I think I joined Benzo Buddies, but then I quit. I kind of buried my head in the sand a little bit, other than like checking in with Jen, the girl that I was talking about. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to get the hell off the medicine, and I knew it was something that I couldn't do cold turkey. And that's kind of how it happened.
And how did your taper go? Did you have any symptoms while tapering?
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, because I was in pretty rough shape when I started, for the most part, things didn't get markedly worse until, toward the end of my taper.
Right. And can you describe kind of the last part of your taper, how that went?
Yeah, well, I mean, during the whole thing, I mean, I was getting like the rapid heart racing, and
So how did your jump go?
well, I definitely jumped at too high of a dose because I, like I said, I was doing a dry taper, and my math skills are questionable, and the pill was so small that I had to, I kept shaving off a little bit, I'd have to get it just right. And when the pill was so small, I just figured, well, even though I was gonna, it was gonna take 10 months, and now it's only 8 and a half, I guess I'll just finish now. I was just so excited to be done with taking Klonopin and sick of, trying to cut the pill every night. And so yeah, I mean, actually, like, I was really pretty good for the first 3 or 4 days, and then all of a sudden, like, just hit with the most intense anxiety that I've ever experienced, and just brutal insomnia. Like, I was awake for 2 nights, like, just not any sleep whatsoever, and I was really having a lot of that derealization where I just felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Everything seemed a little bit like not real. I guess that's why they call it derealization. Being like, I remember, like, I dragged myself in the shower. I'm like, okay, I got to take a shower, and just, I always have music playing, and it sounded warped and weird. And when I was done, I turned the TV on, and yeah, everyone's voices sounded really creepy, and yeah, it was just a horrible. And then I started to get tinnitus about halfway through my taper, but it was just really, really bad, like after the jump for whatever reason. I just remember like sitting on my couch, everything sounded weird. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone, and the tinnitus was so bad, it felt like a freight train was like going through my living room. I was like shaky. I remember, like, I went to brush my teeth, and I kept dropping the toothbrush. Like, my hands weren't working properly. Oh, I got, before the anxiety, this was like probably day 2 or 3. I had been having balance issues on and off during the taper, and even still a little bit now, once in a while. But I had the worst vertigo. I mean, I don't know if you've ever drank too much in your life and got like the spins.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Well, that's what it was like, but obviously I was not drinking at all. I remember like almost crawling to my bed and lying there, and it just felt like the room was spinning. So yeah, I mean, that was the kind of acute withdrawal that I was in for a little bit after the chill.
And did you have like any support? How did you like feed yourself and make sure that, you
Yeah, I
know?
mean, you know, yeah, I mean, I was honestly, I didn't lose any weight during any of this. I know I've read a lot of stories where people did. I was able to, I mean, I wasn't, and I feel lucky for this, I wasn't like sick, sick the way I know a lot of people like can't get out of bed. That wasn't really my experience. But yeah, I mean, as far as like emotional support, I've got a great, you know, I've got great friends and a great family. I probably was not sharing a ton of it because I didn't really even know how to articulate it. I didn't want to worry anybody. It's hard to explain. I guess I just kept telling myself that this will end and I will be fine. And yeah,
And
I
how
mean, I
long?
definitely like relied on myself a lot more than I think I ever had.
Well, that's amazing. And how long do you think that your acute kind of phase was? How long that last?
Well, it was kind of incremental. I mean, the sleep got better after, I think, like I said, I was up just not even bothered getting in bed for like 2 nights. I think after that, like I start, and so I was taking Ambien at the time too. So that probably helped the sleep. Although there was a period before I tapered, you know, when I was in tolerance where Ambien didn't do anything. It was like nothing. I would take Ambien and I'd take NyQuil on top of that. So I would say, like, you know, the sleep got better, you know, within a week. And then, but I was still constantly in a state of anxiety. You know, I didn't feel fully relaxed for probably months.
Right. So
You
after a
know,
few
and
months,
then, you know,
did you?
all the panic, yeah, and the heart
Right.
racing, right.
And you were also on propranolol?
Well, you know, I didn't start the propranolol until early September. So I went off, I jumped June 23rd, 2020, and I didn't go on the propranolol. I didn't even know about propranolol until my nephew's wife, who's a nurse, had suggested I look into that. So that was like over 2 months after I was totally off the Klonopin, and I was still getting that, you know, heart racing thing, which was so terrifying. I know that you understand that.
I do. I do. And did it help you out a little bit? And did you
It
taper
helped me out
it
a
or?
lot. Yeah, it really did. I mean, it helped with the physical symptoms. I was still getting, you know, very panicky, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like my heart was going to explode. You know what I mean?
So after a few months, things started to improve for you because you've been off for quite some time now. Could you describe a little bit how it went for you after a few months in terms of symptoms and sleeping and all that?
Yeah, I mean, the sleep definitely, like I said, I was still taking the Ambien. I didn't stop the Ambien until close to a year ago. So yeah, the sleep was better, but I still had every night, I would still have that anxiety, like, what if I can't sleep? What if I'm up for a couple days? And I think my fear was always that if I didn't sleep, I would go crazy. And I don't know what that would have looked like, but that was, you know, kind of the irrational fear with that.
And did you ever receive cognitive behavioral therapy for sleep or anything else?
Well, I am a big believer on you know, of cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, I mentioned briefly I had some history with depression. So I read this book when I was in college. It's still a great book, and the guy that wrote it actually has a podcast that I listen to once and again. Can I mention it?
Sure, of course. Please
It's
do.
called Feeling Good. It's by Dr. David Burns. So yeah, I mean, I have always been a big fan of cognitive behavioral therapy. But so your question, so there's, I don't know if you've heard of CBTI, so it's cognitive behavioral therapy, and I is for insomnia.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of it, but I did receive cognitive behavioral therapy for tinnitus and sleeping before I started
Really?
tapering. Yeah, that was really helpful. Although, as everyone might may know listening to this, that despite cognitive behavioral therapy for sleep, you're still going to have pretty bad insomnia, probably if you're tapering a benzo and after, perhaps.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that helped me. Actually, there's a sleep app. I'm sorry, an app. I can't think of the name of it.
Calm.
Oh, I love, yeah, I mean, I love all those meditation apps now, but this, I think, yeah, I don't know. I'll send it to you if you want, but it actually, like, they have like a coach, a sleep coach, so you message back and forth every day. It's basically, and again, like your point, like I don't recommend this while you're going through tapering, but basically, you're restricting the number of hours in bed. You're only getting in bed when you're like extremely tired. Because for me, like I said, my bed became this place of torture for me, where I just was laying there like, in a panic state. So basically, I just train myself to, you really just make yourself sleep deprived, and you get in bed for sleep, and if you're lying there and you start worrying, you just get out of bed and do something else. And so I think that helped, and I think my nervous system was just completely shot, after I jumped. So I think, I think time was a big factor, and then, doing the CBTI, it all just kind of helped.
Okay. So how long is it ago that you jumped now?
It's funny, I hit the 1,000 day mark the other day. I had that in my phone. Yeah, so my last dose was June 23rd, 2020. So it'll be 3 years in June. I cannot believe it's been that long. And
Wow.
the funny thing is, I still have Klonopin in my drawer. I just haven't thrown it away yet.
Okay.
I will never take it. I'm just waiting for, like, I don't know what I'm waiting for when I throw it away. But yeah, it was, I think it was, I don't know, I kind of liked having it there, just knowing that I wouldn't take it. Just like, okay, I'm this strong, like I'm having these horrible symptoms, but I'm not taking it. I can't really explain it, but
Oh, I have the same. I have like hundreds of my flurazepam pills,
oh,
because
really?
yeah, like somewhere in the, I mean, I know where they are, but I've got hundreds of these pills and I've never touched them ever since I started tapering. I don't know why I just recently looked at them, not because I wanted to take them, but I saw that, they're expired now in terms of the date. I just, yeah, I'm never going to take it again. I do think, like, if you have an emergency, if you have a crisis, not for me, because I will never take it
Not for
again.
me
Because
either.
no, but I mean, it's kind of like murky waters. But if you do have like a super crisis and you haven't slept in a week or whatever, and you're about to lose your mind, then maybe if it's really a crisis, then maybe just maybe it's okay. But I would always say to people, like, maybe for 1 or 2 days, but then you really have to get to the root cause, what is causing this insomnia, and then try to look at that, because the benzos are just not a long-term solution. I think my fear, though, is, and that's why I would never take it again if I completely come off, is, maybe it will cause kindling, or maybe I'll get just very, very sick from taking one dose. So I'm never ever, when I come off, I'm never going to take a benzo again. If I ever need surgery, I'm just going to make them know that they shouldn't give me a benzo. I'm really scared of benzos now, even though I'm still on them and I'm still tapering. I just They scare me to death now, at least.
Same, same. I had an emergency appendectomy, January 2021, and I had them write that down, that I was allergic to benzos, even though obviously I'm not like physically allergic. And yeah, it's kind of interesting. And this is probably like a mind over matter thing, but a few days after I was back from the hospital or home, I felt like all my symptoms were coming back. And I was convinced that even though I told them not to give me a benzo, that there was a benzo in there. And I, long story short, I tried to get a hold of my medical records, and I ended up just dropping it because I'm like, okay, it doesn't really matter. You know, even if they did give me a benzo, like, I'm fine. But yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. Like, I just never, ever, ever want to be, to take a benzo again.
Actually, you just given me a golden tip, because I have an Android phone. I'm not really sure how it works with iPhones, but you can actually add in some like data for it. Let's say you get a seizure or whatnot, you go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They can access like emergency contacts without unlocking your phone. And you can actually put down there like what meds you are using. And if you have allergies, I'm definitely going to put in there that I'm allergic to benzos.
Yeah.
So that's a golden tip. So maybe for our listeners. Yes.
Good.
Great. I could help. Genius. Okay, yeah. So how would you, so after a few months you get better, I'm presuming here, you can fill in the gaps, that you progressively got better, maybe it was non-linear till now.
It's definitely not linear at all, right? I mean, I still have, and it's better, but like muscle tension, and my neck and shoulders, the entire, I mean, this is before my taper when I was in tolerance, just really, really tight neck and shoulder. Really, really bad, painful. And like I said, it's better. I went to physical therapy for it. The physical symptoms were never as troublesome to me as the psychological ones.
Yeah, that's really interesting. For me, it's like the other way around. For me, it's mostly physical. And the insomnia, although that's gotten better, but I definitely relate to like the depersonalization, the derealization, especially in acute withdrawal. I cannot believe it's like, it's another realm. It's like,
I know, it's like, I felt like, yeah, that I was just on another plane. You know, everyone else was like, I just felt like the Twilight Zone. Like I was just, yeah, it's kind of indescribable.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll never forget the first time that I got it, because this was actually before my first official taper, because this is my second taper. The first one was just too quickly and, you know, uneducated, and I ended up reinstating. But I remember that I felt like the benzos were no longer helping me sleep. And so I was going on the internet looking for an alternative, and then I found Z drugs, which is the Ambien. I was on Zopiclone. I'm not really sure what the brand name would be. I think Sinesta, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I just called my GP and like, oh, I've heard about Z drugs, and because this drugs, and you know, I wasn't really aware of that I was on a benzo still, I think. And he was like, sure, I'll give you the Z drug, the Zopiclone, and I just instantly switched. So I had no, you know, idea what I was doing. I was just cold turkeying years of high.
Wait. So you switched from
my
benzo to a Ambien, whatever.
Yeah, to like a Z drug instantly. Yeah. And my GP was like, okay, sure, I'll prescribe you the Z drug. And I had no idea about benzo withdrawal. I didn't know anything. And that was
the hard way.
It was, yeah, well, it was so weird because it was January 2020, I think, or 2021. Anyways, I instantly switched to the Z drug, and then a few days in, you know, sleeping wasn't great. I was like, maybe it takes a while to work these Z drugs. And, but obviously I was going to being, you know, cold turkeying myself from benzos and I was unaware, and I was walking the dogs in the park, and then the derealization hit me and I didn't know what it was. It was like, I think you said it something, everything, or someone said it to me, like everything seemed fake and unreal. Yeah. I think it was you. And I was like, that was my feeling. Like, this isn't real. It's like, I'm in some sort of matrix. Everything is weird. Who am I? And I didn't know what was wrong. And like, I think a day later, I get a full blown like psychotic break, and I can't stop crying. And I called my GP. I'm like, I'm so sad. I want to die. And I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I was just crying and crying and crying and kind of like desperate because I didn't know what to do because the Z-drug thing was like, okay, I really hope it works because that's the only thing that I can find. And I need something to sleep. That was kind of my logic at the time. And then it takes me a few hours into this psychosis to realize, hey, it's because I quit that other drug. It has to do something. It has to do something with
I'm glad you figured that out.
So I reinstated and then immediately I felt better. But then that was the reason for me, like, I'm pretty fucked. There's something wrong with me in my life and these drugs. Something is wrong. Something needs to change. And then I sought help, but I didn't know it was the benzos basically causing all of the drama in my life. So that was the first, time. And then in acute withdrawal, I had it so many times, but that was like a dimension of hell. And like, that was just unbearable. I just suffering, you know, endlessly. So horribly. Did you ever have that really like that acute state where you're like, this is unbearable and I'm losing my mind?
Yeah, I would say like when I was talking about like being on the couch and I felt, you know, like my body was vibrating. All I could hear was like my tinnitus. I felt like I was in a, not only did I feel like things weren't real, but it was like, I was in like a scary movie, you know, it wasn't, yeah. I mean, that was when I was like, okay, I thought if I can resist going and getting a Klonopin now, then I'm doing okay. So I'd say that was the worst of it for me. But when you say you had a psychotic break, what does that mean for you exactly? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was on a Dutch podcast for a woman that was also on benzos, and she's doing her own podcast in Dutch. And she asked me the same thing, like, what is a psychosis? And I just felt a sadness that I had never felt before. Mm. And I have to say, I've never lost a loved one to death. So everyone is still very much alive. So I haven't been through that process of grief of, you know, someone dying. But I mean, you know, we all go through bad shit and we all have our traumas and dramas and relationships that end and whatever sadness. But this was a sadness that I'd never felt before, like utter sadness. Like I cried oceans that day. And I was really thinking about death a lot. Like my suffering is so intense. I'm not really even sure if I want to be on this planet. And that's
like
really
that suicidal ideation thing.
Yeah, as well. And just the desperation, the utter desperation of me kind of thinking at the time that I had lost my ability to sleep on my own, that I didn't know how to function without medications to sleep. And just everything came together all at once. Like I'm always tired. I'm always just sad. And I don't know why. And this, I just don't recognize myself. I used to be happy and joyful and my life has just, you know, crumbled.
I'm nodding. You can't see me, but I'm nodding because I can relate. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that, and it was kind of, I was so out of character. It was a sadness that I couldn't stop. It was like, I was stuck in that moment of eternal sadness and it takes hours for me to, and I wasn't thinking logically. I even called the suicide line. It was like, I don't know what to do, but, you know, I feel so sad and I don't know if I want to live.
That was good that you did that, I think.
Yeah, but they're like, are you actually going to kill? Are you on a roof? Are you holding a knife? No, then call back Monday. Bye.
I mean, it sounds like maybe you had like a panic attack, right? Like.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to be honest, I don't think I've really struggled with anxiety in my life. I know a lot of people on benzos have anxiety. Maybe I think, you know, I try to really think about that. And I think maybe I did have anxiety, but it was related to the insomnia, scared to not be sleeping. The tinnitus, when I got that, was so overwhelming. I was like, will this go away? So I guess that is a form of anxiety caused by a physical thing, a neurological thing, but I never used to be anxious at all. But maybe in my kind of psychosis, I was.
I think benzo withdrawal, I mean, I said like I wasn't really pursuing a lot of information when I was going through it because it freaked me out. But like I've read now, like a lot of people were put on a benzo, like you, for not for anxiety, but then getting off you know, they're having anxiety for the first time in their life, you know, panic attacks and
yeah.
All that.
And what I think is interesting is that some people get it for anxiety, not necessarily insomnia, and then they taper their benzo and they have insomnia. So, you know, it all comes back to you tenfold. It's just such an evil drug, in my opinion. Well, at least if you take it for longer than a certain time. Yeah. So you were on it it's meant for short term use. Mm-hmm. And you were on it for very long. So now you're almost like 3 years off. And
yeah, I was on it 27 years, which was, you know, half my life when I started tapering at 54. I'm like, damn, that's half my fucking life. Excuse my French.
No, by all means, please do. Do you notice any, how would you compare yourself now in your state of mind and in terms of improvement in comparison to when you were on the Klonopin?
I feel like a different person, in a much better way. I think I'd mentioned to you when we were messaging on Instagram that I started meditating about a year ago, and I think my brain just kind of rewired itself after, you know, the healing in a good way. And I think the meditating for me and the mindfulness just increased that, you know. So does that make sense?
Totally.
General, I'm much less reactive. I'm calmer. Wow, I'd have to think about it, but yeah, I mean, and I've had people mention like, wow, like, who are you? You know, you're just, just calmer and,
I think that's so interesting for you to say that because, you know, I'm amidst my taper, as the audience knows, but, and I said it to you before, I feel calmer some of these mm-hmm. really good days that I'm having than I did in years. I really feel like the benzos, either they work paradoxical, but I would say maybe it's safer to say that they do influence your character, your judgment, your mood and everything. And I just never related it to the benzos. I really thought it was my tinnitus, which is also a neurological condition, causing everything. But then when I found out about benzos, and, you know, I think the Ashton Manual does a really good job in the symptoms and describing the symptoms, I'm like, fucking drugs. It's like fucking mind control almost. Like, mm-hmm. what the hell are these drugs? Yeah. Like, I really, if I would have known all of that before, like, here's a drug. It may help you, but it will also alter your brain and you will have
you'll have brain damage, but you may have a few weeks of, you know, great sleep.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever understand why this is still happening. I think this is my quest.
A lot of doctors are uneducated.
Yeah. I mean, at least you guys in the US and I think Canada now have black box warnings. I'm not really sure if people actually see it because I've heard some other people say, I don't see these black box warnings in my bottles. But so I'm not really sure if, you know, patients are able to see the warning labels and be like, hey, my doctor is telling me it's safe. However, this is saying something totally different. So hopefully it will help. But we don't have those things in Europe, in my country. I would really love to see that changed.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I probably would have ignored that warning back when I was put on it because I would have done anything to not feel that anxiety and insomnia. So yeah, I think it's a step, but so when you asked me how I feel, how I'm different, mm-hmm. this was big too. I mean, I have had a, you know, a history of depression on and off, like nothing, I'd say moderate depression, dysthymia, I guess, kind of a low grade. That's gone. Like, I have not been depressed at all. In almost 3 years, it's great.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's definitely a huge shift. So yeah, I mean, and I do credit that. I do think, I think the benzos made me depressed. Yeah. I think just being anxious for a long period of time, I think my anxiety was causing my depression. That's what I think, but leave that to the experts to
Well, I'm just really glad that you're doing so much better. Is there anything that, well, you know, maybe meditation is a good one, to the listeners still in withdrawal, any advice that you would like to give them, something that really helped you?
Well, I would say, you know, you touched on the cognitive behavioral therapy. I can't recommend that book enough, Feeling Good by Dr. David Burns. I think we've talked about whether somebody went on the benzos for anxiety or not. I mean, it's something that a lot of people tapering will experience. So that there's a book called the DARE. Have you heard of that?
No.
An acronym for something, and I'm Googling it right now. Well, the first book that really helped me out is a book by Dr. Claire Weeks. And it's a very small book. It's really easy to read, which I appreciate, because when you're like in the throes of anxiety, it's last thing you want to do is read a, you know, 500 page clinical book. You know what I mean? So that is called Hope and Help for Your Nerves and Anxiety Now by Dr. Claire Weeks, Weeks. That helped. And then that book on depersonalization, derealization that I sent you also helped me, although I didn't really look through that until I was better from that, but it definitely like helped me understand like what that was all about. So I mean, that helped as far, you know, like supplements. I never really felt like I could tell if anything was working. Like I tried things, but I mean, as you know, your symptoms can change from one day to the next. So I would like add, you know, oh, I'll try magnesium for sleep. And then, but I could never really tell if it was helping or not. So
yeah, I personally stay away from most things. By the way, that book that you mentioned, the author is Sean O'Connor with AU. Yeah, so if people want to find it. I remember that I did try magnesium a little bit. For some people, it seems to help. But I remember the last time that I tried it again, I had symptoms. So I'm just staying away from as much as I can, except for maybe the melatonin. Maybe that's safe. But other than that,
I've read that is safe. Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to, if it works for you, it's great. But I try to take as little as I have to, or I need, just to be sure. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing everything with us.
You are very welcome.
And I will speak to you soon.
Okay. That sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the episode. Be well, be safe. Remember, it's not a race. And don't forget to subscribe and rate the show.